Genesis chapter 1. And verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth the grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth the grass and the herbs, yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So we discover that in creation was not a dead thing. God did not just create the heavens and the earth and say, okay, that's it. No, he also created the trees, the herbs, and the grass, and everything else that's growing on this earth. And then on top of that, he says, everything that's growing, I have put the seed in itself. So this is interesting, because there is a real spiritual lesson involved here. Do you realize today that you have the seed of life in yourself? And I'm talking about eternal life. I'm not talking about mortal life. You have the seed of eternal life within you. If we turn to chapter, I think it's chapter 15 in Genesis, and chapter 15, and this is Abraham now, and he's talking to God, because God has already given him a tremendous blessing. And so he says to God, verse 3, and Abram said, behold, to me you've given no seed. Well, that's all Abram knew, because he came from a heathen country anyway, so he didn't know any better than that. You've given me no seed, but lo, one that is born in my house, I will give to them the right of being my heir. And God heard this. And it says, behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, I'm sorry, Abram, but you're not going to do it your way, because you are not going to provide an heir for yourself. I'm going to provide one for you. So it says here, this shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels. What does that mean? I think it's fairly clear. The word bowels just means his body. That out of his own body would come his heir. Are you following this?
Yeah.
You say, how can that be? He's a man. Does he give birth? Yes. Of course he does. And that's why I want you to understand male and female. Because if you don't, you won't understand what God is talking about here. Because it doesn't make sense to us if we have the concept only a woman can bring forth with the help of a man. You see? That's as we understand it in the natural world. So God says to him, this one that you're talking about, that you bring forth yourself, is not going to be your son, or born in your house, is not going to be your heir, your son and heir. And so it says he believed in the Lord and he counted it for righteousness. Abraham believed what God told him, and it was credited to his account as righteousness. Are you righteous in the sight of God?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't believe what he tells you, you cannot be declared righteous in the sight of God. And we're all guilty, are we not? I confess it. Many things God has told me, and I've said, yes, 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 yes. But to be able to say, yes, I actually believe, I have confidence, I have faith in what you've told me, but this is the reality, you know, that's just like, that's another question. But you see, it's not until you receive what God tells you that it becomes a dynamic force within you. And this has to do, much to do with reproduction. Okay, so it says here, he said to Abram, come on out of your tent. Why did he call him out of the tent? Well, because if you want to look up and you're inside a tent, all you see is the inside of the tent material. That's as far as you can see. And many of us never go outside in order to listen to what God has to say, because we're still in our tent. And the tent covers all that we know and understand. Well, if you stay in your tent, that is what you know and understand, you will never hear the voice of God. Come outside. Why? Because I want you to look up. And when you look up, I'm going to ask you, count the stars up there. Now, you and I know that there are millions upon billions of stars up there. So it was a futile effort for anybody to even try and count the stars up there. I mean, they find a new galaxy and they tell us there's another 100 million stars or whatever it is there. But then, you know, tomorrow there'll be another galaxy that they've just discovered out there. And that will go on and on and on and on. They'll never find the end of it all. So God said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your seed be as the stars of heaven. Who's he talking to? He's talking to a man. He's talking to Abraham. Just a man. And says to that man, your seed is going to be as the stars of heaven. What, Lord? You talking about in number? Yes, sir. Are you talking about in equality? Yes, sir. They will be star seed. And I want you to know today that Abraham was not Robinson Crusoe. He wasn't the only man on the island. Because you and I are all part of this. And God is saying to you today that your seed will be as the stars of heaven. What's your seed today? The seed, of course, is our progeny, if you like. It's those that which we have reproduced out of ourselves. Well, I can remember back years and years ago when I began this ministry, and I kind of felt to myself that, Lord, what you want me to do is to try and bring other people into the same experience that I've had. And he said, yeah, that's basically it. And so, you see, to have seed is not to say, okay, well, I've brought 25 people to Christ. You know, Lord, I've got some seed out there. That's not what he's talking about. He is talking about a seed that flows out of you. But I'm a man. How in the world can that take place? Oh, even thinking about a seed. What is the seed that God is talking about that is in me, that is going to be compounded as the stars of heaven? For you, for you, for you, for you. For every one of us here, God says to you, your seed will be as the stars of heaven. Now, how's it going to happen? Because that's what we need to know. Because it sounds like the impossible dream. Just an impossible dream. So we need to know. Well, here's Abraham. He's just had a good look at the stars up there, and he's thinking to himself, how in the world are we going to have this, have all of this seed? Well, turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, the New Testament. I like to link the old and the new together because they're not separate in that sense. One is revealed in the other. So Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16 should be. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he saith not as to seeds, as of many. In other words, when he was talking about seed, he was not talking about seeds. He was talking about one seed. And he said, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So the Christ of your identity is the seed of God. You understand this?
Yeah.
So the fact that Christ is our true identity, living in this which is his body, for this body is the body of the Christ. And that Christ is the seed of God. So now we've at least got the basis by which we can have a seed as the stars of heaven. Now go back to the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. If I'm going too fast, will you just stop me? Just say, hey, come on, go over that or whatever. This is, we're not playing church here. This is serious business.
I was going to raise a question. When, as the stars of heaven,
yes,
scriptures indicate that he put them in their place. Is he saying to Abraham that the stars that you put in your place will be the same way I put those stars in place?
Yes.
They have their position and their
absolutely
orbit and everything.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. I mean, the stars belong to God. Psalm 115, verse 16, the heavens belong to the Lord. So he's in charge of everything, and that's his world, basically, in the heavenly realm. Okay, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. It says here, so God created the man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Created he him. Male and female created he The translators, of course, they had a fit and said, that's stupid. You can't say, and by male and female he made him. That doesn't make sense. So they put them in there, you see. And of course, that has really turned probably millions of people away from the truth. So if you talk to people about where did the woman come from, they say God created her. God never created a woman. And that's the truth. But don't get upset, you women. You're looking at me like, you know. It's okay. I'm going to let you off the hook this morning. So it says, God created the man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he him. Adam was male and female, just as Christ Jesus was male and female. Just as God is male and female. We read together in James chapter 1 and verse 18 that God of his own will begat us. He didn't chase around heaven looking for a woman. He didn't need to. It was very simple for him to reproduce, not just you and I, but the millions upon millions upon millions of people that have been born on this earth. Isn't that an amazing thing? How? How did he do that? And everybody scratches their head and says, that sounds incredible. Well, it was very simple. All God had to do was to create the man. Because the man was in the image and the likeness of God. In other words, to put it in a very simple term, this man was a replica of God. He was everything that God was. He wasn't just like God. He wasn't trying to make himself to be like God. He was God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word
was
God. Okay. So therefore, he's already created every man and woman that's ever been born on the earth. How did he do that? When he created one man, who was the seed of God. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, if you're taking notes, just jot it down. Ephesians 2 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says,
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in.
Right. So this is interesting that when it comes to the New Testament, that the Apostle Paul is the one actually that puts it all together for us. Because the disciples could not have done that. It took another man to be able to put the thing into action for us. So, the Apostle Paul says, you and I, all of us, are his workmanship. Created in God? No. Created in Christ Jesus, who was created in God. So therefore, we were created in God. But, you see, God's seed, the seed of God, the seed that could reproduce God was in Christ. But that's who you are. That's who you are. So you are actually the seed of God. And if you are the seed of God, then you can reproduce and your reproduction will be as the stars of heaven. How do we do it? Does it mean we've got to travel the world and get everybody converted out there? No, it does not. What does it mean? It means that you and I have to understand who you are. Now, let's try and sort it out for you. First of all, if God looks down from heaven today, and I'm not talking about some little cordoned off square up there in the sky somewhere where God lives, but in that other world of spirit, as God looks down upon us, he sees me, for instance. I'll just use myself. I'm a man. What does he see when he looks at me? Does he see a man that's getting on in years, that's, you know, had a few bumps here and there and, you know, had a few problems and so on? No, he does not see that at all. He sees Christ. Have you got this?
Yes.
When God looks at you, when God looks at you, sir, and you, and you, and you, when he looks at you, he sees Christ. He doesn't see Des Walter as Des Walter, because he created me in the beginning. I came out of God, and the seed of God is in me. Okay. If God is looking at you women today, what does he see? Oh, this is a good one. Get ready for this. If God is looking at you women today, he sees Christ.
Yes. Yes, he
does. He does not see a woman. Nope. Because he never created a woman. So he sees you. And women, I want you to get hold of this today, because I believe this is a liberating speech, a liberating thought for you particularly. But it suits us too, because it involves us. Every one of you women, in the estimation of God, is Christ Jesus. Because the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 2:10, you were created in Christ Jesus. So when Christ Jesus was created in the beginning, Genesis 1:26, you, all of you were in him. Because he is the seed of God. And Paul tells us that in Galatians 3:16. He said God wasn't talking about seeds as of many when he was talking about the stars to Abraham. One seed, and that seed is Christ. And Christ is the seed of God. We don't manufacture God. We don't put God together in us. We have the seed. And I'm telling you, if you plant a mango seed, you're going to get a mango tree. Don't worry about it. It's not going to come up with an orange tree. It's going to come up as a mango tree. Whatever the seed is, that's what will grow from that seed. If that seed is in you, and it is in you, all you can reproduce is Christ.
Hallelujah.
Now, whatever else you try to reproduce, you're just going to bang your head against the wall. That's all you're going to do. Don't try to reproduce a good person, you know. Don't try and just reform yourself. Don't just try and do better. Don't just try and win souls like the church will go out and tell you. Get out there and win some souls for Christ. No, you don't have to do any of that stuff, because the seed is in you, and you only have one responsibility, and that is to cultivate that seed and allow it to reproduce. If that seed in you is Christ, when it reproduces, what is it going to reproduce?
Christ.
Well, that makes sense to me. Does it make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
It can only reproduce Christ. So when we're talking about Christ becoming our true identity, perhaps it is that we have not gone far enough in understanding. And say, well, Christ is already in me. You know, I was created in Christ Jesus, so he's already in me. Yeah, well, thank God, hallelujah, praise the Lord, we're going to heaven and so on. No, no, no. You were given a seed that was planted in you. And that seed is the seed of God. It's Christ. It is the seed of God. Now, if you could reproduce that seed, in other words, if that seed could grow in the soil of your humanity, and you could bring it into a place of fruitfulness, what's going to happen? Well, if you reproduce Christ, you've reproduced all of humanity. Because all of humanity is in Christ Jesus. Are you hearing this? Mm-hmm. So in the birthing of the Christ, when Mary was told, the angel said to her, Mary, God's got a little job for you. You're going to become pregnant. Oh, no, no, Lord. Oh, no, Lord, please. Because you know what that would mean to a little girl in Israel at that time? If somebody found out that she was pregnant outside of marriage, they'd take her out there and stone her to death. That was Israel's law. So she didn't want to be caught up in that. She didn't want to have all those problems. Not like kids today. They go out and get pregnant and somebody bring them home, so mum's got to look after them, or something, you know. You see what I'm trying to say here, that this is a very important issue for us. We have the ability to reproduce Christ in us first. And once we have done that, in Christ is all of humanity. They're all in him. Ephesians 2 verse 10. All of humanity was created in Christ Jesus. If you weren't, you don't exist. Okay, so now this is becoming a little more easier to see, perhaps, or more complicated according to how you think. You women are no different to us, the men, in this. For you have to reproduce, you women, but not as you were before. You see, none of you women could reproduce on your own. And none of us men could reproduce on our own. But when we got together, which is what we did, we got married, and then I've got a wife, she said, okay, it's kind of 50-50 here, I'll put in the egg and you put in the seed, and between us, we're going to produce the child, which we did. Five of them. But now God says to you, and this is now the spiritual issue, but no less real, even though it's in another realm, it's in the realm of spirit. God says to you, I have put in every one of you the seed of God, which is Christ. But the seed of God, which is Christ, is spirit. It is not a body. Are you hearing this? Why? Because God is spirit. God has no body, has no form. So because there's no body involved here, in the bringing forth of the Christ, we don't have to provide another body for him as we did with our own children that in the mother's womb. It was the body that was formed there in the mother's womb. And in your body, that little body of the child was being formed. And then before the delivery came about, the Spirit of God was put into that little fetus. And life begins. I'm not going to go into all the argument as to where that life begins, whether it was at 3 months, 5 months, 9. I don't care. All I know is that the life of God came into that little one because there's no other source of life in this universe. So that's where it had to come from. But that was that life that in that little baby was not the life of God. It was the seed of the man. You hear this? It was the seed of the man. So when Adam's outside the garden and his wife was there and they made up their mind that they wanted to have a family, and so they got together. And there's a little boy that was born. His name was Cain. And, you know, he said, well, this is wonderful. Thank you, Lord. You know, we've become fruitful out here. But see, that boy became a murderer and killed his brother. Was that what God had in mind? I don't think so. Well, what about today? Well, I get around a fair bit and I see a lot of families, and I'm going to tell you something. I don't think the family life of many Christians must differ much from the people of the world. Because I am seeing Christian so-called families where the kids are on drugs and they've gone into alcohol and they're doing all sorts of stupid stuff. So many Christian parents say, brother, would you pray for my kids? Oh, Lord, help us. What's wrong? Well, we're only reproducing ourselves, really, that's all. So, God, he understands all of those things. So he says, I've put a seed in you. That seed is Christ. It will not produce anything else other than the Christ. But see, two people can't live in your body. I mean, it's bad enough to have two people in a house. Many times they can't even get along together. But if we had two people in your body, I don't know how you'd get on. None of us would make it, I think. I mean, at least with your wife, you'd get a divorce if you don't like her, you know, and walk away and so on. But you couldn't do that if there were two in here. You understand, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to make this thing as clear as I possibly can. The seed of God is in every person. Whether you're male or female, the seed of God is in you. That seed, whether you're a man or a woman, can reproduce and will only reproduce Christ, that's all. But that Christ is the reality of your life, of who you are. So Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, he knew and understood, as a matter of fact, going right back into the Garden of Eden, when that woman... Oh, we better talk about the woman first. First of all, where did the woman come from? Well, if you go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21, you'll see there that the Lord God, who was Christ Jesus, he says it's not good for the man to be alone. He says, I'm going to make a helpmeet for him. Well, did he need a helpmate? Well, not under my understanding. My understanding was that Adam didn't need anything. He was doing real good. But he said, no, he needs a helpmate. Well, I studied that word and traced it through in a lot of the Hebrew issues. And I came up with the conclusion that the word itself had a base meaning from a root which meant to test. The woman was to be a test. A test of what? A test of love. Because in the Garden of Eden, the only thing that controlled the relationship between God and Adam in the Garden of Eden was love. It was a love relationship. There was no law in the Garden of Eden. Don't tell me that the law, that he was not to touch the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that was a law. That was not a law. That's a father saying to his son, "Son, I don't want you to touch that tree because I know. I know more than you, and I know that if you eat the fruit of that tree, our relationship will be broken, and I don't want that." That's not a law. It was based upon love. But see, we don't know whether Adam was in the garden for a million years or, you know, we read it like it was yesterday, he was in the garden, tomorrow he's out there. We don't know how long he walked in that garden. Every day he was there. Soon as he heard the Lord God walking in that garden, and put this into its true perspective, we're not talking about a literal garden anyway. The Garden of Eden is not really a literal garden. It's the garden in here. It's that expression of what you are. And in that garden, you are walking with God in the beginning. That was how it started. And yet, he was God, because he was the Christ. Adam was Christ. So he's walking with God in the garden every day, every day, every day. How would God know if Adam really loved him? Well, he couldn't. Because there was nothing there to test him. So, God decided, well, we need to have a test here. What can we do? So, here comes the woman. Genesis 2, verse 21. It says, and Adam said, verse 22. And the, right. 21. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. This, again, is something that we need to understand. You see, here in this chapter, God is setting the stage for all of mankind. So what is happening here was part of the stage scenery, if you like. In other words, what was to be on the earth had to be in the garden there to be set up. This is going to be the test for all of humanity. I want to tell you that God does not see a woman on this earth. He only sees men. Now, by that, I'm not saying that God doesn't see you women. He does, but he sees you as a man. He sees you as a man. Does that make you feel bad? Shouldn't do. Because you're Christ the same as I am. There's no difference from what God's point of view. There's no difference at all. You're not inferior now. You are equal to the man, absolutely. Whereas as a woman, you are inferior to the man from about every source there is around in our world. I mean, I had a lot of ministry in Africa. And in Kenya, you know, there's the Maasai tribe there. They are big, strong men, you know, with big, broad shoulders. And you see these guys walking down the road, and they're striding it out down the road, you know, like this. And about 10 paces behind is his wife. And she's about, you know, 2 inches short of a meter. And she's just real short, tall, you know. And she's got, you know, probably a baby in each arm. And she's got about half a ton of firewood on her head. And she's struggling along there. This is Africa for many of the women. This is how it works. They're just a slave in many cases. Of course, when they come to know the Lord, things change. But I tell you, it takes a long time for them to really get
the message. So what I'm saying here is that in me telling you that God does not see a woman today on the earth, he only sees men. I am lifting you, women, if you can understand it, I am lifting you onto the same level as mankind. Well, from God's point of view, it never was different. But for you to know that there is no sense in which God says you are inferior to the man, in no sense whatsoever. You are equal in every way to the man because that's how God sees you. What are you? I am the man. You are the man with the womb. 100 years ago in England, they would talk about the womb man.
Oh.
The man with the womb. That's how they. That's exactly what they used to say. That's how they saw the woman. The man with the womb. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's where the word woman comes from. The man with the womb. So, it really wasn't, I mean, from the English language point of view, in the beginning, they obviously understood. More than we do today, because I've preached this in some place, and I've had people come to me and say, Brother, where'd you get all this stuff from? I said, well, I just got it from the Lord, you know. I'm not sure, does he tell you the truth or not? I believe he does. So I happen to believe what it's all about. It makes sense for me now, because I've gone through this so many times. Okay. So it was to be a test. So in chapter 2 of Genesis, it says, a deep sleep was fell upon Adam. Now, this deep sleep, of course, if you want to look it up in the Hebrew, you'll find that it really is referring to a trance, like he was in a trance. In other words, he wasn't seeing what his natural eyes would be seeing. If he was seeing anything, you know, I don't know what he would be seeing. But to me, it's almost like an anesthetic, because he's out to it, and he has nothing whatsoever to do with what's going to happen. I want you to notice this. Adam never agreed to be put under this deep sleep. Secondly, Adam never knew what was going to happen to him under this deep sleep. He never knew. Nobody told him. So there was a complete test associated with this whole procedure. But he's put there under this deep sleep, like he's under anesthetic. He is out to it, unconscious. And when he wakes up, but I don't think he did.
No.
I don't think Adam woke up. I don't think Adam ever woke up. And Adam's still asleep.
Stupid.
And what do you think the Apostle Paul says? Wake up, and you discover that you are righteous. He didn't say stop sinning. He said wake up. You're still asleep. You're still living in another world. And I believe, beloved, that that's the reality for us today. We need to wake up to the reality that dwelling in us today is the Christ of God, who is the seed of God, and our responsibility, because he is spirit. This body, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul says, don't you know your body is the temple of God? It's the temple of God. It's where God dwells. God has to have a dwelling place. And so he has chosen you. He's chosen me to be his dwelling place. So this body is not my body, as I used to believe it was. And I hear some of the women feminists, you know, on television. Nobody's going to tell me what I'm going to do with my body. If I want to get a great big tattoo on my back, I'm going to do anything. If I'm going to have an abortion, I'm going to have an abortion. Nobody's going to tell me this is my body. I do with this body whatever I want. So what do? They put these little silver things through their lips. They put silver things through their eyelids. They put through their belly button. Anything. And some of these men today, you see them on television? I mean, you know, their book reads like yesterday's news. It's got all these pictures all over the thing. And words and names and all sorts of stuff. That body of yours does not belong to you. It belongs to the Christ. It's his temple. And therefore you better look after it. But see, I go into many homes. I stay in many homes. Many times parents have said to me, "Would you pray for my children?" I said, "Well, what's wrong with them? They're fighting all the time." "Oh," I said. So just answer one question before I go pray for them. "Do you and your husband fight much?" "Oh, yeah." I said, "Forget it." I said, "You're teaching them. You're going to teach them to fight, and you want me to teach them not to fight." "No," I said, "you just keep going. You're doing great." You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know a lot of Christians, and, you know, when it comes to alcohol, they say, well, you know, we say as Christians, well, you shouldn't drink. I have nothing against a glass of wine or whatever. You have whatever you want. I don't care. I don't think God cares terribly much, not unless you drink too much. But you see,